But he doesn't have a sin. What is needed was provided by Jesus Christ. God did not choose to give us someone who is merely a teacher or merely a miracle worker or merely an example, because these things cannot save. Children, this is very important. If Jesus was only a teacher, he could not save us. If Jesus was only a moral example, he could not deliver, because no teacher can pay the debt. Education is not salvation. No good example can raise from the dead. Examples do not give life. Although it is true, Jesus is the perfect teacher, a miracle worker, and perfect example, these things alone are not sufficient to secure our salvation. What we need is a substitute who takes our place. As 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The one mediator that is needed is provided. He has been given to us by Jesus Christ. As I pointed to a few minutes ago from Hebrews 2 verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Here pointing to the fact that Jesus shares our flesh and blood. In every way that you and I are human, Jesus Christ was just as much human as you and I. Now this is hard to accept. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to embrace. We know it because we've been taught it, but just as much as I have skin on my bones, flesh and blood, a heart, a mind, and even a soul or a spirit within me, as you do, so also does Jesus Christ. When he ate food, it actually went into his mouth and into his stomach. When he put his hands on someone, they felt the physical presence of flesh and blood. Our catechism says that it is necessary for him to be fully man. And here in Hebrews 2, flesh and blood sharing our humanity. We read earlier from Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 verse 5 says this: when Christ came to the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. So he has a body that was sacrificed. And then verse 10 echoes the same thing. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He had a body. He was a man. But he's also better. Yes, we can praise God that he was sent to help Abraham's descendants, Abraham's heir. But he is also better than us. Listen to 1 Peter 2, verse 22. There is no deceit in his mouth, and he committed no sin. He committed no sin. What is necessary, those twofold requirements, which is necessary for a substitute, was uniquely met by Jesus Christ alone. There is no other man. There is no other man who is without sin, save Jesus Christ. And the fact that he is righteous means that he can be a mediator who saves and delivers from sin. But there is one more aspect that we must briefly consider. Because not only is it necessary for him to be fully like us and better than us, fully man and righteous, he also has to be more than just a man. In order for our salvation to be sufficiently purchased, he has to be more powerful than us. Because God alone can suffer as Jesus Christ suffered. God alone can suffer an eternal punishment in limited time. God alone could stand up and shoulder the wrath of the supreme penalty against our sins. As we confess every week in the Apostles' Creed, his was a descent into hell. Hellish agony was heaped up upon Christ. The punishment which you and I deserve because we are sinners was taken from our shoulders and pressed upon his. Now, if Jesus was a man only, could he bear, could he handle, could he carry that weight? He needed to be not only fully man, but fully God to merit a salvation which is so rich, so free, and so sufficient that it could be given to many. Thus, his death being, as we read in Hebrews, a one-time perfect sacrifice which is of infinite worth and value. As I said earlier when we were looking at the earlier Lord's days, what you and I deserve is an eternity in hell. Why eternity? Because we sin against an infinite God, an infinite being. Since God is supreme and we sin against the supreme God, we deserve the supreme wrath, which is eternity in hell. Never ending. Because God is infinite. He is supreme. But what happens when Jesus Christ says, "Here I am," and presents himself, fully God and fully man, he is able in his humanity to bear the supreme penalty. He is able to take an infinite amount of suffering and condemnation and wrath so that when on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the cup of God's wrath being drunk down to the dregs, so the very last drop was being consumed, pressed upon him. What was needed, what was necessary for us to be delivered is not only a man who is righteous, but someone who is able to suffer an infinite amount of punishment and pain, condemnation, wrath, and forsaking, suffering that infinite amount in a limited time. Thus, the penalty which purchased our salvation was shouldered, was bore, and carried. Because of our sins, that penalty is so high, the debt so large, that only a perfect and infinite payment would suffice. Now, when we pay down debts, we usually do it with payments. Maybe you have a mortgage, it's on a 15-year or a 30-year term. You make your monthly payments, $1,000, and slowly over time you get closer and closer and closer until finally 15 years down the road you have that mortgage burning party, you take a photocopy of it, you light it on fire, you celebrate, yay, our house is paid off. But how do you pay off an infinite debt? How do you go about doing that? Let's say if you could be, I mean, we can't, but if we could be perfect, if we could do no sin at all time and do everything, we have sins of omission and commission, right? We omit to do things and we commit things we shouldn't do. Let's say we not only stop doing the things we shouldn't do, but we start doing the things we should do at all times. Could we really start paying off an infinite debt? Is there a way to do that? That's why hell is eternal. There is no amount of payment that finite men can make which can bring down an infinite debt. But when God suffers, when God takes on flesh and suffers hellish agony, all of a sudden, an infinite debt is paid. That's the glory of the cross. There is only one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The reason why Jesus Christ is so unique is because there is such a specific requirement. Fully man, like us in every way, righteous and more than us, fully God. In that way, salvation can be earned. In this we find a unique Savior. Because if he was man alone, if he was just a righteous man, he could not stand under the judgment and wrath of God. He would be consumed. He couldn't bear the weight of our sins. And if he was God alone, he couldn't stand in our place. He couldn't take our place, nor could he die. In this way, our perfect and sufficient Savior is provided. He's unique. So to apply this, congregation, since this is true, you probably have heard a sermon like this many times before. Since this is true, what does it demand of us? Since this is the kind of Savior which is necessary and, praise the Lord, is provided, what should our response be? If God the Father says to you, there is one way to salvation, there is one way that you can escape hell, the way to the Garden of Eden is opened by only one road, wouldn't we take it? Wouldn't we go the way that Jesus tells us to? And wouldn't our hearts be thankful? Wouldn't we be grateful that this very specific and unique Savior has been provided for us in Jesus Christ? You see, the incarnation makes salvation possible. But the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ makes salvation provided. So the incarnation makes it possible. His obedience makes it provided. To conclude, Jesus Christ was sent to take on our flesh and to give hope to lost mankind. Instead of taking us as human beings and kicking us to the curb, throwing us aside and replacing us, our God chooses to become one of us. To become one of us, to remake us, and to make us whole and new again. Our salvation, the whole package, saving body and soul, provided by Jesus Christ, no other blood will do. Nothing else can give us peace with God. Every other door is closed. There's only one Savior, and that's the kind of Savior that Jesus Christ is. Praise God for the gift of salvation. Know this Savior and give praise to this God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the great Savior Jesus is, that he is like us, that he has purchased our deliverance, that he has done what no one and nothing else could do. We thank you for his compassion. We thank you for his mercy. We thank you for his love, that he's willing to be made like us in all things, so that we could not only have a salvation which is possible, but is provided. Oh Lord, give us hearts of faith to trust in this Christ alone. And may we offer our lives as a living sacrifice of praise, holy, pleasing, and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.